This is the Max Kellerman Show. Max Kellerman Show on ESPN Radio.
Breaking news from the NFL. Going to get to that in a second. Plus, we'll hear from Jeannie Buss this hour. It's the Max Kellerman Show on ESPN Radio and ESPN Plus. Give me a call. Big night for L.A. tonight. UCLA, USC, hit me up. 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. The Max Kellerman Show, presented by Progressive Insurance. Guests, join me on the Goodyear Hotline. We got a 17-game season in the NFL. And this apparently, they reached this decision after the owners, I think, were pushing to have the players just play until they expired, right? Roman gladiator style. You just play 100 games, and the last team with players still alive wins the season. The players' union fought against this, and they eventually came to an understanding. It's a 17-game regular season of tackle football. The NFL clubs today approved at a virtual league meeting an enhanced season structure, they call it. They have to sell it to you. An enhanced season structure. If you ever hear of like a political group that says, we are the freedom for all Americans, there's a good chance that what that means is they're for the opposite of that. The enhanced season structure. How are we going to sell it to the enhanced? We're going to call it enhanced. Beginning in 2021, it'll feature each team playing 17 regular season games and 3 preseason games for the first time instead of 4. Look, I'm a consumer of the NFL. I'm happy about 17 games. If I was a player, I would not be very happy. I mean, it's a brutal sport. 16 games. You know, in boxing, they used to fight 15 rounds. They used to fight more than that. And then eventually they're like, all right, we can't have guys fighting 25 rounds. In boxing, in the beginning, the London prize ring rules, right? Not the Marquis of Queensberry that you know now, the gloves and the 3-minute rounds and everything. Originally, it was you know where the expression toe the line comes from? You put your toe on a line and so does the other guy. And that's how it starts. That's the beginning of a round. And you hit each other till someone falls, right? That's the end of round one. If you can get back up and toe the line again, that's round two. That's where towing the line comes from. Can you keep getting up and fighting? And finally, when someone could no longer toe the line, they were physically or emotionally unable to do it, was beaten out of them, they were knocked out. Eventually, people said, that's a little brutal. Why don't we put gloves on their hands and give them mouthpieces and we'll limit the number of rounds? There's still 25-round fights and stuff. Finally, like, what about 15-round fights? Okay, 15-round fights. And then finally, people, all right, you know what? 15 rounds is too long. Rounds 13, 14, and 15, people getting knocked out, winding up, in the hospital and worse. How about a 12-round fight? In other words, boxing, the most brutal sport there is, even boxing understood, without a centralized intelligence, right, making these long-term decisions, this is, let's make it a little more civilized. NFL is going in the other way. They're heading in the other direction. More civilized in terms of the rules. Defenses are complaining, but players are more, but they want more and more games. Do you know why they want so many games? It's very simple. Every time the players want more money, the owners say, we have already unfairly, because we operate a monopoly in the United States. If you're one of the best players in the world, you've been training your whole life, and you want to make a living playing football, you have to play in the NFL. And we will swallow up any competitive league that gets big enough to compete with us, or else make it harder for them to compete with us. So you got to deal with the NFL. So when you come to collective bargaining, the union has very little leverage compared to the league. And the league understands that even if the best players don't play, new players will seem like the best players. When the scabs played in the 80s, they crossed the picket line. The ratings dropped, but they didn't crater. They went down 15, 20%, whatever it was. NFL still made money. So the players are like, we want a bigger cut of the pie. The owners say, we'll grow the pie. But you ain't getting a bigger slice of it. See, whenever you hear a salary cap is about competitive balance, it's a lie. It's a deliberate lie peddled by owners of teams who are lying. They know better, and they are telling you something that is not true, and they know that's the case. Because what it's always about, 100% of the time, a salary cap, is transferring wealth from labor players to small market owners so they can compete with big market owners. Labor to owners, that's what it's about. Anything else is a lie. That's what the cap is about, not about competitive balance. So they got this cap in there. The players are capped in terms of the revenue they could, of the percentage of revenue they can make. these owners who have all made money with free market, free market, free market. As soon as it comes time to paying their workers, well, a free market, no way. Let's put restraints all over the marketplace. And then really that's what's going on. So the owners are like to the players, hey, you want more money? We'll add more games. Do you think it's going to stop at 17? No, it'll go to 18, 19, 20, 25. They'll just keep adding games until they think they can't make more money off of it. And if for the players it means shorter, more brutal careers, what do the owners care? Couldn't care less. So players will have, by the way, and you want to know the truth? Consumers won't care either. Because as a consumer of the sport, you'll think, okay, so once upon a time, a career lasted 15 years. Not the average career, but, you know, a great player, about 10 years, 12 years. So let's say instead of 10 or 12 years, they play 5 or 6 years. What difference will it make to you? There'll be a new pipeline of talent coming up from the ranks, from the college ranks every year anyway. It'll just be shorter careers. 17 regular season games, that's what it means. The 17th game will feature teams from opposing conferences that finished in the same place within their division the previous season. Okay. Like, as a consumer, I like it. As a player, I'd be like, man. Boy, these owners just see us as just commodities, not even as people. Yeah, pretty much. This is a monumental moment in NFL history, said NFL Commissioner Roger Goodell. The CBA with the players and recently completed media agreements provide the foundation for us to enhance the quality of the NFL experience for our fans. And one of the benefits of each team playing 17 regular season games is the ability for us to continue to grow our game around the world. Well, that's true. He's not lying about that. When you spin something, you just focus on the good stuff. That's right. More games. Football is a very popular sport in America. And although I think it is uniquely American, it may appeal. Read Sal Palantonio's book, How Football Explains America. It was a response to how soccer explains the world. And it's really good. And he ties it into Manifest Destiny and all these things about American exceptionalism and everything. And it's really interesting. I think a country like Britain, who has, you know, an imperial past, maybe it appeals to people there too. It feels right to them. But I don't think football translates, the NFL translates in every country around the world. It is not an elegant, I mean, it's a superior sport to soccer, obviously, as a consumer product. But it's not as elegant and easily understood as soccer. Basketball is, which is why basketball is replacing soccer around the world. Football isn't. Football is more like baseball that way. It's kind of uniquely American and translates to some cultures, like Japan, for example. But not to every. At any rate, Damaris Smith, the executive director of the NFL PA on Keyshawn, J. Will, and Zubin.
We didn't give them anything. The conversation about 17 games actually started in the 2006 CBA when the league had the right to go beyond 18 games for free. We changed that in the 2011 CBA. Moving forward in 2020, the players opened up the CBA negotiations with collective bargaining stances that called for massive increases in salaries for our players, increases in our share of revenue, better benefits for former players. The league tied that to a 17th game season, and they bought that right. To go to 17 games.
And Damaris Smith wants you to be very clear that, no, under my direction, we did not give away anything. In fact, we got something. All right. What do you think that when the players will have other demands, what do you think the owners will tie that to in the coming years? An 18th game. Duh. By the way, you want to know the truth, especially as a consumer. They got rid of a preseason game and added a regular season game. Great. How about getting rid of the rest of the preseason games? If just get rid of, like, the preseason is such a waste of time in the NFL. Maybe not in terms of preparation for it, but as a fan, you're like, ugh. All I'm thinking every year is please get out of preseason without an injury. It's all I care about. What's in it for the players regarding a 17-game schedule, Damaris Smith?
We're looking at just the increase in the percentage point alone is an increase in an excess of $1 billion over the term of the deal. All of our players on the base got a 20% increase in salaries last year. The benefits are better. The benefits for former players are better. We took a group of former players dating back to the 80s and brought former players' pensions up to a baseline standard into modern times. That's even before changes in the funding rule that went from $2 million to $15 million to increase the room for guaranteed contracts, changing the work rules, improving our health and safety. Every now and then, it's okay to make things simple by looking at what the league had for free 15 years ago and what they bought in increases to player salaries and health and safety going forward.
I'm buying that spin, sure. And especially if you're helping out older players, great. By the way, I wouldn't mind a 25-game schedule. I love the NFL, but I do think you should put rules in place that players are only allowed to play a certain number of games. Stephen A. brought this up on the air the other day. I like it. So let's say you played 19 games in a season. I don't know. They just expand it again. But no one can play more than 16 games. Now, everyone's in the same in the same boat. Coaches have to make decisions. All that stuff, right? You know what that would wind up doing? You expand rosters, create more jobs. Why not? What's the latest on the 49ers Jimmy G? This is the Max Kellerman Show coming to you live from above the Heineken River deck at Pier 17. Listen to John Lynch, Niners GM, talking about trading up in the draft and keeping Jimmy Garoppolo, their current quarterback.
I think you try to keep a lot of balls in the air, try to see what your options are. But one thing consistent, we've been pleased with Jimmy. We know we can win with Jimmy. And then ultimately we arrived at this deal after free agency that, okay, if we're going to move up, you know, let's do both.
I agree. Good idea. Move up in the draft. Get the guy that you've identified. We want him. Apparently Kyle Shanahan has already done that. Great. Draft him. But you have a team that's ready to win a Super Bowl right now. Don't forget, when Jimmy G was last healthy for a season, the Niners were in the Super Bowl and one pass away. He missed Emmanuel Sanders. Had he hit him, they win the Super Bowl. It's that simple. Came down to that. He missed him. Guy like Jimmy G, who doesn't have the numbers who jump out at you or the arm talent that jumps out at you, boy, he needs that moment. And he didn't get it. But who's to say he wouldn't get it next time, right? I don't think he's a choker. He's just not great, but he's pretty good. Jimmy G was 2-0 with the Patriots. When he got to Bill Belichick identified him. Okay, ready to move on from Tom Brady. By the way, I was too, and it was a mistake. I was wrong, and Belichick would have been wrong. In the time since I said the thing about the cliff with Tom Brady and they should move on to Jimmy G, Tom Brady's had a Hall of Fame career, a full one, since that time. It's 5 years now. He played in 4 Super Bowls and won 3. It's a Hall of Fame career. Anyway, Jimmy G had one season where he wasn't hurt. Went to the Super Bowl that year. Do you know what he is in his career? He wins 75% of his games for teams that lose 75% of their games when he doesn't play. So if he was just barely above replacement or something like that, you could replace him and not have your record flip from winning 3 out of every 4 games to losing 3 out of every 4 games. Yes, you have a team that's ready to win a Super Bowl right now, the Niners. Jimmy G is an excellent quarterback to try to help you do that. However, his upside looks limited. He doesn't look like a superstar-type quarterback. And he's also not reliable in terms of his health, his availability. Number one ability, availability. So they're looking to move on eventually. And everyone's comparing it to, Pat Mahomes. Patrick Mahomes, well, Pat Mahomes was his dad, left-handed reliever through 95, but didn't know where it was going. Patrick Mahomes is the best quarterback I've ever seen with my own eyes. And I'm not saying that whoever they draft will be Patrick Mahomes. But they had Alex Smith. They had a nice team, a nice quarterback. They kept Alex Smith. Mahomes got to develop. Then they moved on from Alex Smith when they were ready. Mahomes took over, and the rest is history. All right. Well, you have Jimmy G on the roster. You're ready to win. Keep him there. And if it's Mac Jones or Trey Lance or Justin Fields or whoever it is, it ain't going to be Zach Wilson. He's going to the Jets. You have a chance. You give yourself a chance to win a Super Bowl this year. You give your rookie quarterback a chance to hold the clipboard and compete against the incumbent, but also learn from him. And then when you're ready, you make the switch. Here's Kyle Shanahan, Niners coach, on Jimmy G.
It's going to be hard to find a quarterback that gives us a better chance to win than Jimmy right now, especially even a rookie in the draft. So that's what you look into. Now, if someone wanted something for that and it can make your team better in a lot of other ways, you listen to that, but also depends on how good you feel about that rookie. And we're not there yet right now. And odds are we probably won't be. That's why we're happy that we don't have to be that way. We got a guy in here who we know we can win with, a guy that our players love, that we love. We're excited to have him this year, and we're excited to have a hell of a quarterback right behind him, learning from when the time's his.
Listen, if you're a Niners fan, you're like, oh, good. My franchise is in the hands of rational people making, like, good faith public pronouncements, right? That's a rational strategy, and he ain't lying to you, ain't spinning you. That's right. He's being transparent. He can be right now. Why not? I like what Steve Young had to say, too, about this move for Kyle Shanahan. Whatever he's done in his career so far, this is the first time as a head coach he's going to be able to say, I am drafting this quarterback. I've identified the guy I want. It's this guy. And now I'm going to hitch my star to his wagon. Meantime, what a killer division the NFC West is. As bad as the NFC East is, that's how good the NFC West is. Killer division. By the way, you think Arizona doesn't have a chance to win the division? You're wrong. They do have a good chance to win it. Because Russell Wilson throws his O-line under the bus. It's over for Seattle. I don't know about that. Jamal Adams was basically hurt all year. Their defense wasn't any good. But Russell Wilson wins double digits every year and goes to the playoffs every year. Why would this year be different? And the Rams. If Sean McVay can do that with Jared Goff, and they believe that Matt Stafford is 2 firsts and a 3rd better than Jared Goff, and I realize part of that is a more team-friendly contract for Matt Stafford, but a lot of it is Matt Stafford's talent. If he looks at Matt Stafford and says that, and they've been to the Super Bowl with Jared Goff, that's a Super Bowl contender. And San Francisco's obviously a Super Bowl contender. When last healthy, they were in the Super Bowl. I think you got 4 legit Super Bowl contenders. Maybe the one who you're thinking, they're not as well-rounded, is Seattle. But I thought Seattle was going to get out of the NFC this year because I thought, like, Jamal Adams could be a tipping point on the defense, a bend-but-don't-break defense, just good enough to let the offense do its thing. He was hurt, but if he's healthy, that's some rough sledding in the NFC West. Max Kellerman Show on ESPN Radio, presented by Progressive Insurance. Drivers who save with Progressive save over $750 on average. I'll tell you what. Well, let's take a call on this. I got to get to the Lakers and the Clippers, and there's a lot of L.A. basketball to get into. Scott in Colorado, you're on the Max Kellerman Show.
Hey, Max. I was just thinking about all the talking points that have been going on today and how the players are upset and concerned about getting injured and all these things. And I think they just need to remember that it's a product sport for entertainment. And if the fans are looking for more football and more games, the owners are looking to deliver a product, and if they think they can sell it, that's kind of got to be the end of it.
Well, anyway, I mean, I don't know if it has to be the end of it, but in the end, it's going to go in that direction most likely. And that's because the players in the NFL are fungible. Like, you think, oh, they can, how is the league going to survive? You think the league needs Tom Brady or Aaron Rodgers or even Patrick Mahomes or something? The league don't need any of those guys. Because if those guys didn't exist, we'd be looking at other guys. Deshaun Watson and maybe Stafford this year on the Rams and Russell Wilson. And if those guys didn't exist, you'd look at the next year and they'd look like the best to you. Because it's relative to how other players are playing. No, all this means a 17-game season is careers will be a little shorter. I don't think the fans will notice. And while it means individual players will amass fewer dollars over the course of their careers, potentially, it means more players will make a good living in the NFL. No, I when I rail against it, I don't think it's bad necessarily for the consumer or for all football players. I'm talking about for football players presently in the union, you know, they're negotiating against, a monopoly. They're in a bad spot. And Damaris Smith, the NFLPA, he is, of course, wants to shine the best light on it because he's doing the job. And his claim is, look, we just made things better. And it may be, but they had to give up an extra game. And in a full contact sport, that's rough. I mean, a 16-game season's a long time. 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. Coming up, should we throw out COVID testing when we get to the Final Four? Or is that the dumbest idea in the world? We'll get into it next because one coach thinks that's a good idea. Plus, Jeannie Buss on building a championship team, the Max Kellerman Show on ESPN Radio and ESPN Plus. Baseball's back, and DraftKings, the leader in one-day fantasy sports, is putting you on the field with a free shot at millions of dollars in total prizes. Got a share of it anyway. Just pick 10 players to enter the salary cap and pile up points for hits, runs, strikeouts, and more. Download the DraftKings app now. Use code MAX to get a free shot at a share of millions of dollars. Up for grabs this week with your first deposit. That's code MAX. Only at DraftKings. Minimum $5 deposit required. Eligibility restrictions apply. See DraftKings.com for details. Isn't it better, like, when you have a little skin in the game? If two raindrops are falling down a window and you pick one and someone else picks the other, it's interesting all of a sudden. How good all of this stuff is with DraftKings? See DraftKings.com for details. The Max Kellerman Show on ESPN Radio and ESPN Plus.
The Max Kellerman Show, the podcast.
Should we throw out COVID testing at the Final Four? Wait, what? Someone said that? That's coming up. I have some choice words for them, and it's a coach. It's the Max Kellerman Show on ESPN Radio and ESPN Plus. 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. The Max Kellerman Show is presented by Progressive Insurance. Guests join me on the Goodyear Hotline. Jeannie Buss was on Stephen A's World yesterday. Listen to her about the Lakers. Lakers fans, I want you to pay attention to this, because the ongoing story of the Los Angeles Lakers is very much the story of the Buss family, who've always said they view themselves not as owners of the team, but as stewards of a public trust in L.A. Listen to Jeannie Buss and the family drama that played out. The fact is, her father was the greatest owner ever. Won 10 championships since he bought the team. But essentially on his deathbed, wanted to make sure, essentially one of his dying wishes, I want my family, my kids, to stay together around the team. I want it to be a family business. Jeannie, you're the boss. Jim is in charge of basketball. Jeannie tried to uphold her father's wish. She tried to fulfill it. She stayed with Jim as head of basketball operations, even though the Lakers were in the doldrums. Probably a year longer than she should have, but she was being a responsible and good family member and a good daughter. And it wasn't working. She finally gets rid of Jim and puts Magic in. 3 years later, the Lakers win the whole thing, the championship. Listen to Jeannie Buss on Stephen A's World.
It was really important to my father that the team stay in the family and run the same way he ran the team. I like to say that my dad had his children, but the Lakers were his baby. Mm-hmm. And he put me in charge of the baby. In the 32 years that he ran the team, they only missed the playoffs twice. And here we were going on 5-6 years without being in the playoffs. It was just not Laker basketball. And the decisions had to be made that were tough. But it was important to restore the legacy that my father started. And that was to, you know, the first thing, putting Magic Johnson in place. And then because of that, being able to draw a player like LeBron James in free agency. We had struck out in free agency over the last few years, and we were slowly rebuilding through the draft, which is really difficult in any sport to play with so many young players. But getting LeBron James put us on the path to where we are today, and that's back at the top of the NBA in the conversations to be one of the best teams in the league and hopefully defend our trophy.
Lakers fans, think about what Jeannie is saying. And just sports fans, just human beings. Like, this plays out like a Greek drama, like some kind of Greek myth. We're his children, but the Lakers were his baby. So do you fulfill the letter of the law and your father's dying wish? She tried her best. She's not just, I would have given it 3 years and then said, all right, to hell with it. I don't even know if I would have given it 3 years. She gave it 4 years. But then she's faced with, do I move my brother out? Do I move my father's son out to protect my father's baby? Wow. Right? Wow. She did. She did what she had to do, and the Lakers are champions. Meantime, the Max Kellerman Show on ESPN Radio and ESPN Plus, 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. You can hear this show, the Max Kellerman Show on ESPN Radio, ESPN Plus, the ESPN app, Sirius XM Channel 80, and on your smart speaker. Meantime, after their loss to UConn, where Baylor's Kim Mulkey, Coach Mulkey, was robbed. They were robbed. It was a foul. It wasn't called. They were robbed, no doubt about it. But listen to this idiotic comment Coach made about testing for the Final Four.
I don't think my words will matter. After the games today and tomorrow, there's four teams left, I think, on the men's side and the women's side. They need to dump the COVID testing. Wouldn't it be a shame to keep COVID testing and then you got kids that end up having test positive or something and they don't get to play in a Final Four? So you need to just forget the COVID test and let the four teams that are playing in each Final Four go battle it out.
This country just went through an election where we voted by millions of votes to reject stupid. We have to reject stupid. The reason 500,000 Americans are dead instead of far fewer than that, according to every study, every credible study, didn't have to be 500,000. There were going to be a lot of Americans dead regardless, but not 500,000, is because we had a period in our politics and in our life where not just anti-intellectualism, but aggressive stupidity ruled the day. Hey, let's bury our heads in the sand. If we deny reality, we'll just create our own reality. That can work sometimes, actually. You can live in your own imagination, right? Not with a disease. A disease does not care whether you ignore, you know, by the way, you ignore it, even better for the disease, even better for the virus. For a coach to say, for Coach Mulkey to say, that, like, think of how stupid a comment this is. It's aggressively stupid. We shouldn't test for COVID, because what a shame if we find some and then something happens to the player or the game. Just because you don't test for it doesn't mean it's not there, unless Coach Mulkey thinks that's the case. No, she obviously does not think that's the case. She's smart enough to coach as well as she does. That means she's smart enough to know that that's not the case. So what she's saying is, better for players to be a vector for the disease, to spread the disease, than to cancel the Final Four or have a player miss the Final Four or have a team disadvantaged. That's what she's saying. It's the unless she really does believe in magical thinking, that if you just don't know about it, then it doesn't exist. An ostrich thinks that. You have to be bird-brained to think that. An ostrich sees danger, puts its head in the sand, because it figures if it can't see you, you can't see it. It's like a kid when you play hide and seek, covers your eyes. It's a level of stupid that's hard to comprehend. The Max Kellerman Show on Progressive on Progressive Insurance. Brendan, are we on Progressive Insurance? The Max Kellerman Show, let's see, is presented by Progressive Insurance. Well, that makes much more sense. At Progressive, they're making things even easier. They'll help you bundle your home and car insurance together, so you can save on both. Learn more at progressive.com or 1-800-PROGRESSIVE. Coming up, it's a big night for LA sports, UCLA and USC in action. Whew. Trojan fans are feeling pretty good about yourselves. Bruins fans, how are you feeling about the fact that SC is in this thing? You ready? 888-SAY-ESPN, the Max Kellerman Show on ESPN Radio and ESPN Plus. Here's the good news. Even with high unemployment, there's still a need for hundreds of thousands of cybersecurity professionals in the U.S. right now. And My Computer Career is training people to help meet the demand. No IT experience? No problem. Take the free career evaluation today at mycomputercareer.edu. Start your new life as an IT pro in as little as 4 months. Grants covering up to 53% of the cost are available to those who qualify. It's not rocket science. It's mycomputercareer.edu. The Max Kellerman Show on ESPN Radio and ESPN Plus.
The Max Kellerman Show, the podcast.
Your calls here in a second. Told someone's upset with my thoughts on Kim Mulkey. I got to talk to this guy. So just hang on. I'm going to get to you. It's the Max Kellerman Show, ESPN Radio and ESPN Plus, 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. This is a show that welcomes an exchange of ideas in which I explain to you why your idea is wrong. I just, you know, I know today that David Price, owed $64 million over 2 years, is heading to the bullpen for the Dodgers. Dustin May is the fifth starter. That is an embarrassment of riches for the Dodgers pitching. And by the way, most of the Dodgers pitching is like under 25, except for Clayton Kershaw. Young, excellent starters. And I'll bet you if David Price is heading to the bullpen, it's not simply because they believe that, well, there's a better choice to start. I believe there's some analytics that tell them, in fact, whatever you think his early innings problems are, he's going to be really good out of the bullpen. The Dodgers are probably favored to win the whole thing again. Last Take is brought to you by Dell. For your small business needs, call a Dell Technologies advisor today at 877-ASK-DELL.
You heard First Take?
At least it's good to hear your voice finally, because I know I'm First Take. I only hear you on the intro and outro.
Now hear Max's Last Take.
Number 11, UCLA versus number 1, Michigan, and number 6, USC versus number 1 in the whole tournament, Gonzaga. Could you imagine? Could you imagine if SC and UCLA advance? It's good. UCLA has a tough draw, even without Livers. Michigan is really, Juwan Howard's done an amazing job. And of course, SC versus Gonzaga's, a lot of people think they're going to be undefeated, win the whole thing. But could you imagine LA? The way this tournament's gone, who knows? It's the Max Kellerman Show on ESPN Radio and the ESPN app. Who doesn't like my Mulkey take? Nate in Pennsylvania. Go ahead, Nate.
Hey, Max, listen. So, first off, I've been listening to you, watching you on ESPN for years now. Yeah. And always like what you had to say. Even if I disagree with it, I thought you made good points. And you go back and forth with Stephen A. Mm. It was always enjoyable to watch. But I like the first tape that politics and sports sometimes mix. And when they do, you know, it's irresponsible not to talk about them.
Yeah.
But you can agree that ESPN, maybe it's because they're owned by ABC, always is leaning left. Always is liberal.
No, I would, well, take, hold on. I would say on social issues, that is frequently the case. I would not say that there's some, you know, media left-wing bias built into our sports coverage. If you really take what left-wing means, if you were to say political party affiliation and what that's come to mean, well, that's something else. Yes, but I would simply argue, without getting too political, that one of the political parties has ceased to be simply one direction or another and has become completely debased. But anyway, continue with your point.
Okay, so if people listen to me, know exactly what I'm talking about. If you know ESPN, whatever, all of you guys, they lean left. Just to be fair, you just said that we had a vote in which we voted against ignorance and good events, stupidity, and all this other stuff, which the vote was kind of close to your insulting half your listeners, in a sense. But my point is that
they may not understand what I'm saying. If they're insulted by that, they may not understand what I'm saying, but go ahead.
Well, you're doing it again, but whatever. But my major issue, and this is why I'm calling, is because you're carrying into this woman like she's like saying the coronavirus doesn't exist, or that, you know, she doesn't care about the safety. But no, I get what she's saying. I think a lot of other people get what she's saying too, which is, yes, there is inherent risk in what she is saying, but I think it trumps whatever negative could come out of it. And I know what you're going to go with and the death toll and all that other stuff, but you're taking a moment that might be the greatest moment of a person's life. And she's saying she wants to guarantee him that moment. And
first of all, what's your name again? Remind me of your name.
Nate.
Nate, I like the way you presented this. You feel that I was being antagonistic, but rather than meet my antagonism, you try to say, wait a minute, I find this insulting in certain ways and antagonistic in certain ways, and I genuinely want to talk about it. Nate, I will always talk about it with someone like you who I feel is a good faith actor. I respect that because I think you're actually genuinely saying, hey, I have a disagreement. I don't want to insult or be insulted. I just disagree and I want to talk about it. So what do you think is the positive about what do you think she's saying that deserves to be defended? That there are players in the tournament who will be robbed of a life experience and that outweighs the chance for spread of the disease?
Yeah, and there's always going to be a chance of spread of disease. Listen, I go to work every day. You go to work every day. You wear your mask, and that's not always 100% and whatever else, but you don't get tested every day like these kids do. And it's funny how we can go throughout our lives and not get tested every time we go into a store or doing this. And I'm not saying put somebody out there with coronavirus, but I'm saying there's false positives. there's a chance that, I mean, there's...
But how does testing change any of, like, in other words, if you test, it's just another layer of information. She might argue, hey, let's test, and if we get a positive, it may be a false positive, let's test again, let's do everything in our power to make sure we have the tournament. But that's very different than saying, let's give ourselves less information so we don't even have to react to it. Because if we might react to information in the hierarchy of our decision-making processes closer to the top, then we may not get something else we want. That makes no sense to me, Nate.
Okay, do you know what, Max? I'm going to say what she's really saying, what I'm really saying. I got to word this carefully because...
Wait, you know what, Nate? We're running out of time, but because I respect, Nate, because I respect so much the way you presented your case, I want you to... We're going to talk about this more. I'm going to be back on Thursday. I want to talk about this more. Get Nate's information. I want him back on to talk about this. I like the way he did that. That's the way we get somewhere. We talk to each other. Never mind if I was being antagonistic. I like it. Max Kellerman Show, ESPN Radio, and the ESPN app.
The Max Kellerman Show, the podcast.